Welcome to Hot Off the Press, a podcast that provides knowledge and emotional support for new and aspiring printers. I'm Jillian of Studio Soprano.
And I'm Mariah of Mariah Creates, and we are two letterpress printers who believe in sharing our knowledge and learning together.
We're here to help bridge the gap between antique printing methods and modern design.
So hang up your apron,
put down those palette knives,
and let's get into what's hot off the press.
Well, hello, friends, and welcome back to Hot Off the Press. This is Jillian, and I am here with the ever lovely Mariah.
Hello.
And y'all, it has been a week. It's been a week. Mariah and I are recording this on a Friday morning after a very long week of chaos and printing and reprinting and ups and downs. We've laughed, we've cried, we've wanted to just throw everything at the wall. And then we've also rejoiced in some really awesome stuff. So a true roller coaster moment.
Yep.
You know, and luckily we always have each other. So there's balance to that. And yeah. What a week it's been, Mariah.
It's been such a week. Apparently it was a full moon this week, like a super moon. And I swear I'm going to stop doing anything on the week of like a full moon. I feel maybe that's a little too hibbity-jibbity, but like,
no, I just feel
like seriously working with the moon cycles may be to our advantage next month. I don't know. But
may be like cracking a code here. Like, I know it's like weird, but one of the reasons like I really, really have always wanted to run my own business is because I don't think people appreciate how much like a menstrual cycle can knock someone out.
Yeah,
and like mine really knocks me out. And like, I'd always get mad when like my bosses or whatever just had no respect for like how much more depleted I was that week.
Yeah.
And so I give myself a lot of grace in that. But now I'm thinking like, yes, the full moon cycle is such a thing. And this past week has been so absolutely crazy that I can only blame it on the moon.
Yeah, it was absolutely chaos in every like aspect. I don't think a single thing was like just straightforward easy. Like, it was one of those weeks where everything was challenging and everything was hard, and it all turned out all right. But like, what?
Yeah. By the time
and for both of us too, like not just for one of us, but like for both of us. Like, this is not a Mariah insulated event. It's not just Jillian. Like, it's literally both of us. Like, and just weird chaos like just happening. I don't know, it's just, it's been weird. It's been a week, so we're happy to be talking to each other and recording for you guys. And we've got a couple of really great topics, and today we have hopefully a short but also fun episode that will actually require some visual support. So for the first time, we are going to be intentionally and actually linking some images and maybe a video or two to go along with our discussion, which will be all about crop marks and registration marks, when to use them, when you don't need them, what they are, and all of that. So let's dive into it.
Yeah, love it. Okay, cool. So are they the same thing? That's kind of the first question. Are crop marks and registration marks the same thing? Technically, no. However, you could get twice the function out of using the same graphic or line. But there is a difference between crop marks and registration marks. So I'll just like really quick give you the raw, dirty definition of each of them, and then we'll kind of like dive into when we use them, when we don't, all that stuff. So crop marks, also known as trim marks, are very thin lines printed on a parent sheet in line with the corner of the publication to indicate where you want that sheet trimmed down. So basically, if you were printing a 5x7, you might do those two up on an 8.5x11 sheet. You would put crop marks at all the corners of the 5x7s so that you or whoever is cutting the paper knows exactly where to cut it. They are traditionally just a set of straight lines. If you use Illustrator to do your artwork, which we always, always encourage, Illustrator is fabulous. There's a super quick function to create trim marks in the object drop-down menu. It will literally say create crop marks. And I usually edit the length of those when I am using crop marks, but it is such a quick and fast tool that it's almost like, why not do it if you can, right?
I have to check something real quick. Yeah. I think there's two ways to do crop marks in Illustrator.
There probably is.
I think that there's – so I feel like there's an effect. Am I crazy? Do you know what I'm talking about?
I'm opening Illustrator right now. I don't use the effect. I just literally, like, in the object menu, there is create trim marks.
Yeah. I'm going to go look at this real quick. Okay. So
– oh, yeah. There's an effect called crop marks.
Yeah. So – which is different. Okay. So I'm going to go – I want to see this one real quick. So where is yours?
Under object, make trim marks. Or create. Sorry, create trim marks.
Oh, there it is. Okay, great. Yeah, this is interesting. So this is actually really helpful because – okay, so there are two ways to do crop marks in Illustrator. And I want to tell you that the way Jillian just mentioned, so going object, create trim marks is actually better because you can edit the length of those crop mark lines. Whereas if you go effect crop marks – it'll give you just a mandated crop mark size. So you can't edit the size of those lines.
But you can probably expand those crop marks and then edit those.
Let's see. I mean, if you go to like select the object, you can't actually select them individually, even with the direct selection tool.
Yeah.
Do you have it open?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. If you expand appearance, you can. Okay. So if you do want to adjust the length of the crop mark lines, it's important to know the difference between the two. So if you were to go object, create trim marks, you can just take the direct selection tool and adjust those however you need to. However, if you go to the effect and then add crop marks or crop marks, you actually have to expand appearance and then you can adjust those crop mark lines, which I actually did not know until literally just now. So fun fact for you all, you now know two ways to make crop marks or trim lines in Illustrator. And so do I.
Yeah. Okay. So that's crop marks. They're the little two lines at each corner. They're kind of held off from your artboard so that they don't interfere with your artwork, but like two little straight lines at every corner to trim it down. That's what you got for crop marks. Now, registration marks have a different purpose. They serve the purpose of making sure that the artwork is aligned correctly during multiple passes or applications. So this could be for multicolor projects. It could be for different kinds of print methods or die cutting or anything else that is applied and needs to be registered to your artwork. You could really use anything as a registration mark. You could make a squiggly line. You could do whatever. But traditionally, you'll see a target, crosshatch, bullseye, all terms for the same thing. It's basically a dot with a circle around it and then cross two lines that are creating like a plus sign. And for some people, they do like a knockout process. We'll have some graphics of what they look like. But for the most part, it's just a plus sign inside of a circle. Most simple one. You could also do a color bar, which is just a solid rectangle of color. And you can also just do some text. So if you have multiple plates, you might want to just like write the name of what that project is. So maybe it's the Jillian invitation. And so all your plates say Jillian invitation off to the side. And that way you can sort of see if all of the colors are exactly overlapping. So those are the two big differences between registration and crop marks. So let's talk about when you would want to use crop marks.
Yeah. So for crop marks, when are you going to want to use these? There's a couple of different instances. You may find something that works better for you, but generally, if your project has artwork that bleeds off of the edge of your artboard, aka has a bleed, and also if it's going to be printed on a press that has grippers, so like a Heidelberg or a Kluge has grippers, and so it does need a little bit of room, or I guess a Vandercook actually, now that I'm thinking about it, is going to need a little room to grab the paper, and so it can't print all the way to the edge. If you're printing a project with two or more copies on one sheet and then cutting it down afterwards, obviously you're going to need trim lines or crop marks to do that. Yeah. So those are kind of the necessities. And, you know, you may find that you just like printing with them on a larger size sheet of paper. That may just be what works best for you. So that's always an option.
Yeah. Yeah. Crop marks really for the most part, just come into play when you need a print on a bigger piece of paper than what your final size is, because mm-hmm. that is their job, is to indicate where to cut the paper when you're done. Now, you can use your crop marks as registration marks if you're doing like multiple colors. But if you are someone who likes to print on the actual size of like your pre-cut size paper, so you need a 5x7, you're printing on a 5x7. If you don't have artwork that bleeds off or anything, like adding crop marks is only going to force you to pay more for plates than you need to, because yeah. they're not serving any purpose. Your paper is already pre-cut down. You can save money by doing small cards 2 up on a larger sheet, since it's less time on the press. So maybe you have 2 4-bars or a couple business card size things that you want to print 2 on one larger sheet. That's when you're going to need some crop marks. But yeah, other than that, like if you're printing on a pre-cut size, I'd say don't use them.
Yeah, it's I've actually never used crop marks to on letter press. I've never printed with crop marks before. But I also print mostly on final cut sizes. I usually cut it and print it on, in its final size. So for me, probably normal. However, with my new Heidelberg, that will probably change. So we'll review that in a later date. But yeah, for our my Chandler and Price, your Golden Jobber, it's like for a platen press that you hand feed the paper, it's probably not going to be necessary to leave any extra room or print on a larger size and cut down. So yeah, for us, it makes sense to not use them, but.
Yeah. Now, a registration mark is something that I use a ton, and I oscillate between like many different types of registration marks. But what I love about them is like if you're using a crop mark, you are probably, because you need to trim it down, you need to have it at all 4 corners. So that takes up like so much plate space. But a registration mark can be at just like 1 corner. The same spot on every plate, obviously, that's what you need to make them work, but it doesn't impact like how much material you need to order as far as like ganging your plates together. And if you are doing anything that's more than one color or has multiple processes, you definitely want to have that because it helps you align. I have done a ton of like registration by eye. But the more advanced my designs get, or if I have multiple processes where I'm outsourcing some of the components, that registration mark is so key to making sure that like the final vision is achieved. So I also don't really use crop marks often unless I'm ordering something digitally printed and it's just cheaper to order it on like a larger sheet of paper and then cut it down. But yeah, I use registration marks a lot.
Question mark. question mark. Clearly, I only talk to people via text. Do you normally put your registration mark on the top of your page, or where do you like to have it?
I like to have it at corners. So let's say I'm feeding my paper in like this, and this is like the bottom of my platen.
Yep.
I like to put it in this corner down at the bottom,
so you don't
not all the way at the corner. I like to like put it, because what I've noticed, if you put it too close to the corner, your registration mark can look good, but this top side up here may not be perfectly aligned. I kind of put it up here, but so what ends up happening is that since the registration mark is obviously printed off of your size, I get a little bit of ink that pulls up over here.
So you're, I'm sorry, I have to interject. So you're using registration mark on like, let's say you're printing, like your end goal is a 5x7. You're still printing on cut sizes. So you're still printing on a 5x7. So you're just printing the registration mark off of the page. Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting. I was also going to say, like, if you wanted to avoid paying for like a full 6x8 plate or whatever, you know, like using that much overage for your actual plates, you could probably just do like, even if you had your paper like 5 by 8 and then just cut the top, that'd probably work too. But you're right. I love that you're doing it without the paper anyway, because you really only need the registration mark to register the plate. Once the plate's registered, you don't really need it anymore. So that makes sense.
Exactly. So I have two processes for how I do this, and I'm sure there's going to be a lot of like printers who have been printing forever that are like, oh my God, this girl knows nothing. It's no, I know the right way to do it. I just don't do it that way.
Well, clearly I've never used one, so.
So here's what I do. And I actually have asked, someone's slid into our DMs and was like, how have you figured out to do full bleed on a pre-cut sheet? It's because I don't mind that the ink is going to get on
we use our acetate.
Yeah. Because I just wipe it off. But what I have done is I've gotten really smart with knowing, like, where is that ink going to land on the acetate? Like, I get smart about which side I'm registering.
Yeah.
And for the registration marks, I've noticed that if I do it at the like bottom, what is this? Like right hand side when you're feeding.
Yeah.
If I do it at the bottom right hand side and I'm feeding into the press, I am like almost never touching that area. And I've never once had the ink transfer over to my paper.
Yeah.
Sometimes I leave it, I just leave the registration mark on there. If it's going to be a plate that I ever intend to reuse, I absolutely leave the registration mark on there. But if I am printing an invitation for a client that is like, I will probably never use this plate again, once I've registered my plate and I feel very, very confident about that registration, I just lift the registration mark up and I cut it off.
Cut it off, yeah.
And let me tell you, while that may not be the scientifically best way to do this, It works. Yeah. And it saves me from like having to order like too much plates, and it saves my like headaches of like registration. Like the registration ends up being perfect. Yeah. And then I don't have to worry about any like faux pas with the ink transferring because I've cut it off. Now, does that mean if I ever did need to reprint that job, I would be a little SOL? Yeah. But I'm also really good at registering by eye. So. Yeah.
And, you know, that's future Jillian's problem.
That is future Jillian's problem. That's a gamble I'm willing to take. Also, if I needed to reorder a plate, like, it's not the end of the world. But, yeah, for my Better Mail cards, if I've done a registration mark on them, which some of them, just to challenge myself, I don't. I like to see if I could do it by eye.
Living on the edge. I love it.
Living on the edge. But there was – so that ice cream one – with the sprinkles the cone, being those tiny little circles.
Yeah.
I did do marks for those. And since I want to reprint those, I left the crop mark, or I left the registration mark on.
That's fine.
And not one single card got ruined by ink transfer. So anyone who wants to knock acetate can go kick rocks, because I freaking love using acetate.
Yeah, I do too. I mean, I know it's not the most environmentally friendly option, but it is very convenient to just be able to wipe it and go.
But it is – but, okay, it's not the most environmentally option, but it is something that you can reuse and reuse and reuse and reuse.
Yeah.
Where I don't know what the deal is with Timpin, how much you can reuse it, but I feel like you could actually get a way longer lifespan out of acetate than you can Timpin.
I've had the same piece of acetate on for I don't know how many months now. But also, when I do retire the acetate from my platen, I actually cut it up and use it to make my little registration guides. So
yes,
I still reuse it even myself, aside from just like smashing the shit out of it over thousands of copies of things. So, but yeah, I even once I do retire it, like if I notice it's getting crazy or whatever, I will seriously cut it up into little pieces and use it for I will also use it to like put ink on. Like if I have a whole bunch of ink colors I'm mixing up, I'll cut it into like quarters and I'll just use that to like put ink on until I'm ready to put it on the press or whatever. So, you know, there's lots of ways that I reuse that. But anywho, I really think like printing a bleed off the edge of a paper or a registration mark that's not actually printing on paper is so convenient. And acetate is great for that because you can literally, with a dry paper towel, or I use shop towels, literally just wipe it right off and it's totally fine. I do that all the time.
So really quick, I do want to backtrack because I think I left out the most important part of that process, which is when I am configuring the registration, I do use a larger sheet of paper. So I take like 5 or 6 sheets. Like, let's say I'm doing an A7. That's my final size, is an A7. I'll take 5 or 6 A9s to the shop with me to have for the registration. Yeah. And I use those specifically only for that. And if something needs to be tweaked, like if I make any changes, I have to like discard or like cross out the side that was used. Like I have a very systematic process to make sure,
that you don't accidentally align the next one to the wrong thing.
Let me tell you how many times I've done that before I realized, oh, I need to make sure I never pick up the old registration.
Yeah.
When I'm registering a new plate.
Yeah, that would suck.
Yeah, a numbering system is really good. So like I will write number one and then feed it into the press. And then if I make adjustments, I cross off that whole sheet with a marker.
Yeah.
And then I will number the next one, number one.
Like, I do that whenever I change the ink color too. I like write color one, color two, and color three if need be.
Yeah.
So I don't mistake the first one for the right one or whatever.
Yeah.
So
there are some areas where you can go wrong with over-trusting crop marks and registration marks. And Mariah and I both know the crop mark heartbreak too well.
Mm-hmm.
If you are digitally printing something, digital printers don't always have the tightest tolerances. In fact, even some very, very expensive industrial digital printers do not have tight tolerances. This means that if you print 100 sheets of your artwork that has crop marks, and then you stack up that paper and you go and you cut those sheets, they will likely not all be cut in the same place. Relative to the artwork.
Gut-wrenching. Terrible.
We bring this up because we have put our trust in the crop marks and they have failed us. But really what it was is the actual printer that's being used and just not understanding the tolerance of those printers.
Yeah.
So if you are outsourcing your digital printing and they are not the ones who are cutting things down, and you will be cutting it later, you might want to ask them, like, is there a variation I need to account for here? Or you could just let them cut it down. But even still, like, I know I have definitely gotten stuff, not that Staples is like a high quality place or whatever, but I've gotten stuff from Staples and I was surprised with like the border around would be like an 1/8 inch off on multiple sheets.
It's crazy. Yeah, that's like home printer status.
Yeah, no, because so even the like in the Corcoran printing shop, the what was it called? Hold on, I wrote it down.
The Versifier,
huge machine, very expensive, still has movement. The Printmaster achieves spot on registration, but the Printmaster is like a 5-color offset printing, whereas like the Versifier is digital.
But. Yeah, that's really interesting. And for anyone who's not a letterpress printer, the funniest thing is that letterpresses are probably the most accurate.
Oh, yeah. Letterpresses are so accurate.
It's so weird to me. Like, I think that's such a mind trip. Like, when I'm printing something that's digital and letterpress, it's the weirdest concept to think that, like, you just hit file print and the printer does the thing. But, like, letterpress is a handmade process. Like, I feed every sheet in by hand, but it's way more accurate than it is in my digital printer that has guides and rollers and stuff. The exception being handmade paper, probably. But, like, it's really interesting to think about when you're hand making and hand printing something. Jillian's even peddling her foot treadle press. It's like, that's probably way more accurate than any of her digital printers are.
Yeah.
It's such a weird concept, but yeah.
Yeah, you should share. Sure. You should share about the one that had like 6 different registrations by the end.
Yeah, so I digitally printed, and did the crop marks. I did 4 up per page on 11 by 17. And it's by the time I measured, like, literally all the different sections, I cut them all down and measured. It was like some of it varied by like 1/4 inch, probably. And that's the horizontal alignment. The vertical alignment was probably like, I don't know, between 1/8 inch or like, you know, 3/16 difference. Mm-hmm. So obviously when you're cutting, like if you have tight registration for your letterpress, that is too much of a margin to be able to register your letterpress plates to one thing and have it work for all of those. So I ended up finagling things and printing basically 8 different versions.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's not acceptable. You know, it's like, that's not an option really. So there's a little, depending on your letterpress versus digital like artwork and how it all aligns, you may be able to get away with a little bit of a variance, but anything above like 1/8 inch, probably not. Like there was even like a good amount of wiggle room on this project, and it was too much variance to be correct. It was a real.
And did you print those at home?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. In your studio, I should say. Mm-hmm. I also printed some business cards in my studio, which we both have Canon Pixma printers, which are capable of printing really high quality color. So it's not like we're, you know, using janky machines over here. Like,
yeah.
My wedding photographers have the same printers that we have. And like, yeah, that's what they print. Like, they're really good photographs on, you know, so these are good quality printers, but it's just the nature of the beast that they don't have good tolerances. So I printed some business cards out and planned on duplexing them up and then printing letterpress printing on the front. And I stacked the pile of sheets all together and I put them through my paper cutter. And then when I went and looked at the information digitally printed on the cards, there were some where like my website was completely cut off. Then there were some where the website is like half up the page.
Yeah. Like, so you're looking at like a half inch wild. At least, right? Like, yeah. It's,
it was probably
like,
1/4, but it's still like 1/4
from top to bottom. That's a huge difference. Yeah.
On a business card, that's a huge 2 inches, difference.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so all of this to say, like, both of us highly recommend outsourcing any digital printing that you have. We've learned from our mistakes, all right? Like, that's the end-all be-all is, like, if you're not a digital printer, maybe just outsource to someone who is. We are letterpress printers, so we should only be doing letterpress whenever possible. But, you know, for sometimes when it's small quantities of things, you think, oh, this will be totally fine. And then you spend 3 days doing it again and again until it's right. And you're like, just kidding, no longer worth it. I wish I had just outsourced this from the beginning. Yeah, valuable lessons to be learned. And as always, do as we say, not as we do. Learn from our mistakes, et cetera, et cetera.
Even if you outsource, though, it still may not be perfectly aligned.
This is true. And I think this is where your note to, like, just ask your printer what kind of variance level there is. Like, that would be helpful. But yeah, I mean, you think about like envelope printing and how they're like 90% crooked, you know, it's like, yeah, digital printing is a tricky beast.
Okay, well, I've got a whole other freaking speech to give about envelopes and people's expectations of them being way too, I can't even right now. It's so annoying. Yeah.
Knowing how much letterpress and like digital room for error there is also helpful, and just designing for letterpress, that comes into play too. You know, whatever you're designing, giving yourself a little more wiggle room is probably not going to hurt you.
Think this would be a good time to talk about designing for letterpress printers who are printing on like a Chandler and Price or similar models. Because your press does not have grippers, you can print on pre-cut sizes fairly easily. It's probably what you do day in and day out.
Mm-hmm.
So do you need to use registration marks even if you have multiple colors? I would say no, especially if there is something within the design that you can already register to. You know what I mean? Like if there are two pieces that overlap or they fit close together, or like you can see that there, then I personally would save the space on my plate order and just create plates for the art pieces.
Yeah. So I have never used crop marks or registration marks printing, and that's for better or worse. I'm not saying that's the right thing to do by any means. That being said, I recently printed a 6-color job and didn't have any issue with registering those 6 colors. However, a lot of that had to do with, one, the fact that I print out my artboards and use those to register my actual plates, and I don't register them the quote-unquote proper way. I register them that way. And I think that's a pretty common way to do it. It's not unusual. But the other thing that I considered was designing for error. And when I was designing that project, I designed things that were meant to overlap, but not required to only overlap a certain amount. If they were slightly off, so if one of them was a little bit off, whether top, bottom, side to side, it wasn't going to throw off the other 5 colors. The only exceptions, there were 2 colors for the different text blocks. And if one of those was too high, it would have been a problem, but it was pretty easy to register those. They're just centered top to bottom. They just need a little bit of variance and that was it. So like the rest of it, the four colors that overlapped completely, if one of them was a little bit high, a little bit right, a little bit left, it wasn't going to be a problem. And it was intentional. And I designed it that way so that I knew when I was going onto the press, I wasn't going to cry over this project trying to get all 6 of them to perfectly align. If I was going to cry if they were not perfect, I would have definitely included registration marks. Probably would have like done double registration marks to make sure it was perfect for that many colors, because 6 colors was a lot. Yeah, I think that there are ways you can creatively design a project, especially with multiple colors or multiple processes, that will hopefully help avoid any heartbreak if something goes slightly amiss.
That said, the very next thing you designed was this same thing, same amount of colors, but tighter registration.
Yeah, but only 5 colors. I know. I built my confidence with that first one and really just went for it. So I have an upcoming project. Maybe I'll add to this later once I've printed it.
My favorite thing is, too, is like you have a light border and then darker colors. And so like, and they're touching. And so that registration actually does have to be quite great, because you're going to see those darker colors sneak into that lighter color border.
Yeah. So I actually don't think you can see it in the photo that I sent you, but I actually designed like a 1-point distance in between those things. I actually like
you the could edge not, of... you couldn't see it in the,
yeah.
In the
photo. So, cause I sent you a screenshot, that's right? Uh-huh. Yeah. So there's, smart. For everyone listening, there's a tiki invitation. And so there's like little bamboo frame, and then behind the bamboo frame, which is obviously going to be like white. So it has to be, it's cropped around it. So the leaves almost overlap, but not quite. What Jillian's talking about is where this dark green leaf meets this really light beige tiki frame, like this bamboo frame. So I am going to let you all know how that goes. Or maybe I'll just bite myself. I'll just order it with registration marks. I'll get crazy.
I'm looking at it now, and in the screenshot that you sent me is like straight color to color. But even with the 1-point, I'm so excited for you to print this, because it is going to look amazing. And I know you're going to nail it, but I know we're going to have like 7 pep talks during the process.
Oh, yeah. You're definitely going to get like harassed with text and voice memos that day for sure. But if I can pull it off, they're going to be amazing. And yeah. I can't wait.
So in essence, you can get by without doing registration marks if you want to challenge yourself. A guide sheet is always such a great way to do that. There is one more thing that I did want to mention. If you are using photopolymer plates and a boxcar base, the boxcar bases have a grid on them. And so if you are using any sort of mark for your registration, you could set up your plates by denoting which cross section of the grid you are setting your crop mark on.
That's now, smart.
You want to make sure that you are using a very thin line for that. I would try to go as thin as you can, because then you are really going to see if you are off even just by a little bit, but also so that you could really make sure that you're getting on top of that little grid line.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, even just like the slightest, tiniest little tolerant, like little difference will throw you for a loop.
In case you want to add this back in where I was talking about my 6-color letterpress job, I actually wrote a blog post about designing for letterpress with some like tips and tricks. And this particular project that was 6 colors is in there. I talked a little about like my favorite option for multicolor jobs, and I did like each artboard and every layer with the full color version. So you can kind of see that if you want a visual. It is on my mariahcreates.com/blog. It's a blog called Designing for Letterpress. So there are some tips and tricks in there. I don't really cover crop marks and registration marks, but if you want to see that 6-color job and the insanity that I came up with, then you can go there.
Yeah. I also recently, now I'm just going to like be throwing in a million things that are related to this topic. So on that same ice cream cone card, I wrote down, in addition to having a target bullseye registration mark, I wrote down the color of the plate.
Yeah.
So it was like blue 1, pink 1, blue 2, pink 2. While I was designing it, I knew what order I wanted to print it in. And then when I got the plates, I didn't have to rethink about that. Like, I just knew, like, oh, I'm printing blue first, and this is the plate that's going to go first, and this is the plate that goes second. So sometimes putting, like, little notes in the margins of your print can be a good way to, one, keep yourself organized, and two, to also help you with registration, because if the registration was off, those comments don't all align.
Yeah, totally. Like maybe starting with the tightest registration and go from there, kind of a thing, or whatever is like most key. Like if this one thing, like for example, my particular design that was 6 colors had text in the center, and then it had leaves, botanicals around the bottom 3 sides. And so if the text was not aligned, I was SOL, because that actually matters. The leaves were all a little bit flexible. There was one color of the leaves that had a leaf in the middle, because I'm just a psychopath. And so like those 3 things, the 2 text colors, that 1 leaf that was in the middle of the text, those are the 3 crucial ones. The other 3 colors, if they were a little off, was not going to be a problem at all, right? So like if you start with the more difficult stuff, start with the stuff that's super crucial, and then let the rest of the design and registration flow around that, it becomes a lot more forgiving if you make a mistake with the other pieces. So get the important stuff out of the way first would be my tip.
Yeah. All right. So in essence, if you need to use them, I would say have them on an as needed basis. But if you absolutely don't need them, spare yourself the money and just gang everything together and call it a day.
Getting those plates up. Yeah, for sure. If you're ordering through Concord Engraving, they ship in a 9x14 package. So otherwise, go for it. Amazing. Awesome. Well, hopefully that was helpful to everyone. If you liked this episode, or if you like the podcast in general, be sure to leave us a review. And
reviews.
If you have any questions about crop marks or registration marks, just shoot us a message. You can either DM us on Instagram, or you can shoot us an email, or go to our website, hotoffthepresspodcast.com, to fill out our contact form. We'd love to hear from you. And yeah.
Yay.
Thanks
for listening. We'll be back next week.
Bye.